following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Our favorites, the AP Top 25, has been released in $40 million rosters throughout college football.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yes, welcome in. It is the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Happy Monday, everybody. My goodness, is it a hot one here this afternoon? Severe weather, but not because of any bad weather, just severe heat. Seeing it right now, 95, feeling like a whole lot more than that. And so we've been able to feel a little bit of that weather here this afternoon. Happy to be here with you in the studio this afternoon. Happy game week, everybody. Auburn High, Lee Scott Academy, it's finally here. Or I guess on our standpoint, it's officially here. I feel like the summer has absolutely flown by. Happy game week. Happy first day of school, first day of classes for Auburn University as well. If you can't tell just based off of the amount of cars and the amount of individuals who don't quite know what they're doing quite yet, but you know, we'll get there. We'll just need a couple of weeks to figure out the one ways and the do not turn on reds or the just go, all of those. You feel like you're getting a little bit behind the wheel, or when you're behind the wheel here in Auburn Opelika. But we appreciate you for being here with us, whether again it's the ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, or that Radio Alabama app. I mentioned it. I'm Christian Griffin. Across from me, my man Trip Upton here with us in the studio as well. And partner, we were up there at Lee Scott this morning trying to film a little bit of a video for the Lee Scott Sports Network. And I know that this was the first time that you got to see, I guess we got to see it on Friday, but I wasn't able to talk about it. But the new renovations,
yeah,
new field, new Jumbotron look absolutely incredible as the Warriors host the Glenwood Gators here coming up on Friday night. The fact that that's a week one matchup is awesome, but it's a crime in itself, the reason that it has to be a week one matchup. But I did not know that cameras could get foggy internally, yet that's what we figured out. And so if it's 95 degrees, it was 120 down on the football field. So happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Yeah, that new turf. Is the turf new?
Everything, yeah.
Oh, everything, yeah. Well, the turf.
Yeah, we were true grass last year.
Oh, yeah. So the turf was just absolutely absorbing that sunlight. I mean, you said it's 95 degrees outside. It probably was closer to 115, 110 on that turf. And so, I mean, it's bad when we're walking to our car and it's like, oh, the breeze. It feels kind of chilly.
Yeah, as soon as you got up and you were actually back at ground level, it was like, oh, man. This is actually relaxing.
Yes, but so yeah, but happy Monday, man. It is, you said it, it is high school football week. I am so excited. First time being a part of the Auburn High Sports Network, getting some testing stuff done this week and a little bit of last week, making sure that we're going to be able to connect up. And there's only three places, or really four places, you should be this Friday night: Doug Sanford Stadium, Judd Scott Field, Wings 94.3, or AU 100.3. That is
boom.
The only places you need to be if you are listening to this program live. I know you guys go on the air at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
for your pregame show. You and Caleb Robertson, myself, Jack Cohn, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and Rob Pate will be going live at 6:30 for our pregame show. Both those kickoffs, toe meets leather at 7. So you're just going to have to be flipped back and forth between the two. I'll be giving the score updates about what's going on for you guys. We'll be letting you guys know what happens with us. And and anywhere across our Radio Alabama networks, but those two in specifically biased. That's where you need to be for sure.
It is. It's 100% where you need to be, and we're looking forward to really diving into our high school coverage this afternoon. I guess a little bit of our week to week, now that we're officially getting into the high school season, and then before long, I mean, shoot, we'll be able to turn the page into college football season as well. So just kind of a brief itinerary, if you will, for what our weeks are going to look like. Mondays are going to be just about completely normal. A lot of recaps, a lot of conversations based off of the games that you saw throughout the weekend. Tuesday is a little bit of the same. We wanted to be able to especially prioritize having some openings on that side of things. Tuesday, we're going to get some other Auburn University Tigers to come in and talk about their teams as they continue to get their season started, and so excited for that side of things. Wednesday, in hour number one, is going to be full high school coverage. We're going to have Coach Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers joining us at 2:30. We're going to have Coach Jacob Osman of the Lee Scott Warriors joining us right around 2:10, and so that hour is going to be all of the updates in terms of at least what we are going to give on ESPN 106.7 for Lee Scott Academy, for Auburn High School. And then at 3 o'clock, we've been teasing it, and we've actually had a couple of those segments over the last handful of weeks. It's going to be a complete full deep dive into another team in the state of Alabama, because again, we understand that everybody falls under that Auburn and Alabama umbrella, yet the tradition, yet the pageant tree, yet the fan bases of some of these other teams that are not Auburn or Alabama still have such rooted history that we want to still be able to dive into everything. And we are such college football nerds, and we understand what college football means in the state of Alabama. And so we're really excited. We've been talking with some SIDs, talking about getting a lot of head coaches on here of the other schools within the state of Alabama to come and join us, give them the opportunity to promote their school, their coaches, their players. And so really, really excited for that. That'll be 3 to 3:30 on Wednesdays. And then Thursday is going to begin the preview day, where we'll have Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, we'll have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, and then Friday is going to be our free-for-all Friday. Our guy Lee Sterling is making his way back to start the Friday editions of On the Line. It's going to be a lot of SEC top 25. We're going to make all of our weekly picks, and then it's going to be Auburn and whoever they are about to play. And so a big time itinerary coming up, especially for again, the next couple of weeks as we work our way closer and closer to not only the high school season, which again starts on Friday, but the college football season, which starts in just a couple of weeks, and then Auburn football in week one in Atlanta taking on Baylor. And a perfect segue into this afternoon, talking about the AP poll, because we're diving into that as it was released 11 o'clock this morning, 12 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to dive into that. Where does Auburn possibly sit? Who do they play? And maybe take a little laugh at last year's week one AP poll and how different everything ended up being versus what that week one looked like. And it will just double down on everything that we continue to say on how preseason AP polls don't matter. Give me the first rankings in late September, early October, because a top 25 win in week one more than likely isn't going to mean the exact same thing that it did or that it would if they were a unranked team in October. And so with that, the phone lines are going to be open for the first hour and a half of today's program. If you want to be a part of today's program, at 334-321-1390, give us a call. Any of your thoughts on the AP poll, on high school football, on Auburn football, anything that you heard throughout the weekend that we're going to dive into, feel free. Again, you can give us a call. Light up that phone line right next to my good buddy Tripp, and he can connect you. You can be on the line. And the Send Medicine text box is always open, which you can be a part of at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And the text box, again, brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more, and you can become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. That's S-E-N-N medicine.com. Again, continuing to give really good insights and everything, was able to go back and visit the website a couple of days ago and look at everything that President Eric is doing, and it's absolutely incredible. And so I highly recommend everybody make your way over there. He'll take care of you the way that he takes care of us, both on ESPN and with the Lee Scott Sports Network as well. And although we have high school football on Friday, we also have another place that we're going to be on Friday afternoon that we're really, really excited to be able to kick off with our remote coverage as well.
Yes, join us at Winter Timber Outdoors this Friday, August 21st, as ESPN 106.7's On the Line and The Drive will be coming to you live on location. Stop in and celebrate their big one-year anniversary with us, or with just being open at Winter Timber Outdoors. Stop by and see them on Friday, then come back on Saturday for Winter Timber's Outdoors Customer Appreciation Day, kicking off the hunting season with free food, giveaways, and huge sales throughout the store. Be sure to join us this Friday from 2 to 6 at Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn. If you don't know where it is just off of the corner of really Opelika Road and Shug Jordan East University Road right there, kind of near the neighborhood Walmart. Mm-hmm. I think I can say that just as and near the mall. Go check it out. We're going to be set up there Friday from 2 to 4. Come out and meet us. Would love to see some of you on the linebackers out there. And speaking of some on the linebackers, we head to the phone lines to start out the Monday edition of On the Line with John in Auburn. John, buddy, I hope that you are holding up in this heat, man, because it is blazing on the plains today.
It's blazing hot. Okay, just real quick, now get to what I was going to say. I'm on the fence again. Maybe Alex Anthopoulos needs a statue.
Are we back? Is it the we broke down the statue, now we're possibly building it back up?
You know what? Let the Dodgers go out and get Scooble. Malley has been better.
Tyler Malley has been really, really solid.
Yeah.
For the final year of Major League Baseball.
Correct. Wanted to talk football real quick. I know y'all get to the AP poll. Just two thoughts real quick.
Yeah.
One, LSU is like sitting there like maybe ninth, and I was looking at LSU's schedule yesterday. I didn't realize that LSU's fifth SEC game is in Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I think in honor of Jaden Daniels, I think we're playing this the wrong way. I think we need to recognize Jaden Daniels, recognize cease and desist. If Auburn wins, how good of a troll would it be to show Jaden Daniels highlights on the Jumbotron? And with, like, cease and desist on it.
I mean, between that and highlights, as long as you don't score, hopefully don't score 5 runs or 5 points, because I've seen a lot of Major League Baseball teams that have jumped on that of, we won 4-2, or Gunnar Henderson hit a home run, and they went from 4-6, and they tweeted out, we went from 4-6, out of respect for Jaden Daniels. So maybe that's just the way that Auburn needs to go. It's the fifth SEC game, and so what better way to highlight number 5 than in week 5 when you could get a little morning time victory with your morning coffee?
I mean, that's a great troll job, in my opinion. But just real quick on the AP poll, I know Auburn's in not receiving votes.
Mm-hmm.
Vandy has 7 votes and Auburn has 3. I've always thought that the AP poll favors larger market teams, but, like, my gracious, I don't think anything in lines or predictive analysis or anything like that. These things are so far off and so far biased towards large market teams, it's gotten ridiculous. But thank you guys for what you do.
Appreciate you for calling in, being part of today's show, and kicking off the Monday edition of On the Line. Yeah, looking at AP News right now, Auburn with 3, and the others receiving votes. You have Vanderbilt with 8. You also have Minnesota with 5. Minnesota.
Thank you.
With 5. You have UNLV at 4. New Mexico at 4. James Madison also in there at 3.
Okay. Hold on. Looking at some of these. Who is voting for Tulane? I think that and
that's a lot of let me look at last year. Oh yeah, they had a pretty good year.
I think there are some voters that copy and paste their ballots from last year to this year. I'm fully convinced that they do that, because you look like, and that vote proves it right there, knowing that they did not get the head coach they wanted. They wanted Brett Baker from LSU. He decided to stay with Lane Kiffin. So who did they go get? I couldn't tell you. I think it was Southern Miss's old coach. Let me look it up. Cause it's like, it was someone that all the Tulane fans were like, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's Will Hall. And if you've heard that name before, he was at Southern Miss from 2021 to 2024, I believe. Yeah, and he went 7-6, 3-9 and 1-6 in conference, a total record of 8-19 at Southern Miss.
I mean, that's the reason to receive votes.
Just, I think that people copy and paste their ballots. I'm convinced of it, and that right there proves it. Why? But
TCU with 11, Navy with 10, South Carolina with 10,
who just lost two of their better wide receivers.
Surprise, South Carolina. South Carolina's always like you mentioned it, where it's like, yep, yeah, go ahead and concrete Missouri at number 25.
The government mandated Missouri from 20 to 25.
Yeah, I feel
the government mandated Iowa from 20 to 25.
I feel like South Carolina is usually in that spot at like 23rd. Just because of Lenora Sellers and Shane B. This is the year, and then they get one win and move into the top 20, and it's like, oh my gosh, is Willie Bryce going to be electric again?
And then they have the one, like they struggle in a non-con game, but they win it, and then you're like, okay, this team's learned resilience. But then that's what at least what South Carolina fans would tell you.
And then they go blow a 2-touchdown lead to Alabama.
The first tough game they play at 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. or I guess noon for them at Willie Bryce, and everyone's like, oh, is this when the Shane Beamer gets his signature win? They lose that game. Then they go win a game they're not supposed to, lose it, and then they beat some top 15 team at the end of the season, and this starts all over again.
It's like that, John, you'll appreciate this if you're still tuned in. It's like the Dansby Swanson
the
wheel that I feel like all Braves fans involve themselves in, of like the, oh my gosh, what is this guy doing? It's kind of the Austin Riley one right now, but it's like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Okay, the weather's heating up. Okay, Dansby Swanson's now finally heating up. Okay, wow, this guy is really good. Holy crap, we're winning the World Series. This is the greatest shortstop to ever play the game. Oh my gosh, what is this guy? And it's just a full on
every single year that I was a big fan of Braves baseball.
Sorry, Dansby, that was an uncalled for shot.
Well,
but
true. I literally that's what
especially
I would
after
do.
The injury. Apologies, Dansby.
Yeah, but like I would, you know, the years that I started following the Braves, really like when I was in high school, Dansby Swanson would be awful, and then I would send a text in our group chat of all of our Braves fans, we need to move off of Dansby Swanson. And after that text, for like 3 or 4 years in a row, would be the next week he'd heat up, and I'm like, so it became a tradition of just like, he's playing bad, when do I need to send it?
It's one of those weeks of like, all right, he's hitting .232 on the year, and then there's a 7-for-15, three-game slate with, two home runs, two doubles, and six RBIs, and the average went from .232 to .246. And it's like, okay, maybe he's starting to get hot. And maybe that's what Austin Riley can continue to do. Know that he was a triple away from the cycle a couple of nights ago.
I know.
They lost the series to the D-backs, but Matt Olson hit a 3-run bomb. And if you know, you know. I'm keeping really good track of whatever Matt Olson does with his runs batted in category. And the fact that it wasn't a solo home run is absurd to me. But Matt Olson, punisher of baseballs, and I love the fact that he's now getting some recognition for, you can't even call it a celebration, but whenever he just destroys a pitch, it's always like the look back at the pitcher of like, how dare you throw me that?
Yeah,
how dare
serious?
You hang a curveball middle to where I can just drop the hammer on it. Same thing with the fastball that he got of just,
goodbye.
How dare you throw me that? I'm going to hit it into the falls, hit it on
75, 85.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hit it into the chop house, give somebody a $25 souvenir when they spill their beer to try and reach over and grab it. Tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break. We're not talking Braves baseball. I mean, they're not in the AP poll. They are having a pretty good year. Second right now behind the Brewers in the NL. And so not a bad spot if everything were to end right now. But we do want to dive into this AP poll, work our way from 25 to 1 and talk about who all Auburn has to play. And then again, a big time laugh into last year's week 1 AP poll and talk about why top 25 games should not matter until September or October, because then you actually know, especially in the transfer portal era, you actually know what the team is going to look like. And so all of that as we continue on. We're just off and running here on the Monday edition of On the Line. You can be a part of today's program at 334-321-1390. Also get to the Send Medicine text box when we come back.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on this blistering hot day in Auburn, Opelika. Counting you down to the start of high school football season, man. We are just saying that fires me up. And knowing that we are not too far away. How far? I had it on here. Had it on the rundown somewhere.
How many days away we are?
19 days until Auburn and Baylor. Oh, man.
Wow.
Fire me up on that forefront as well, which means we are even less until the start of week zero in college football in Dublin, Ireland with TCU and North Carolina. And excited to dive more into what this week and what next week are going to look like in terms of our overall. Again, we still have our player rankings. We still have our SEC rankings. We have Auburn's final record. We have our Heisman candidates. And we have our overall playoff brackets as well that we're going to get almost one of those every day, probably starting tomorrow. And so really excited for what's to come here over the next couple of weeks in the show, but also excited to talk a little bit about this halfway sarcastically, halfway seriously, I guess, because I know that you know, and the everyday on the linebackers know my love and passion for preseason and essentially week zero AP poll rankings, because there's a whole lot of validity. It matters a whole lot. And go look at Georgia Tech, Florida State from a couple of years ago in Dublin, Ireland, where Georgia Tech and Aiden Burr, is that?
Yes. Aiden Burr is correct. You're thinking of the former vice president of the United States, the man who killed Alexander Hamilton, and co-star of the famous play Hamilton, Aaron Burr.
That is, yes. I said Aiden. Good
history fact.
Good history fact, and don't love it man enough to admit it.
You so, like Hamilton?
It's fantastic.
I love it. Thank you. I got made not. I would say I got made fun of in high school, which you would jokingly respond, "Huh, that must have happened a lot." But my friends didn't like. I appreciate a good theater, good musical stuff, and I'd watch Hamilton. I told them, "I'm like, guys, like this is actually pretty good." And they're like, "Bro, why would you watch that? It's just like theater kids, you know, whatever." And then I had like one or two watch it, and they were like, they texted me, they were like, "We're so sorry, we were wrong."
I used to like get home and Adia would have it on, and it'd be like one random part, and I was like, "What are you watching?" Oh, speaking of watching, we're about to watch Gunnar Stockton throw this ball, I believe to Lawson Lucky, in the front corner of the end zone. If this ball is not completed, it's game over. And this is one of the best college football throws you'll ever see. Almost a Russell Wilson just lost. I mean, look at that.
Boom.
I mean,
is that the London Humphreys?
It was. It is London Humphreys. Yes, you're exactly
Boom.
Right.
Look but at that.
A throw that if you do not complete this, the game is over. Tennessee moves to 3-0 to start the season. Tennessee still has a chance, but I believe they miss a field goal, and it goes to overtime, and Georgia just routes the Vols in overtime. Look at this throw. This is stupid.
I will say I absolutely love the idea of like the ESPNU has been doing over the summer of just airing old college football games. Every day we'll just turn it on. Okay, here's this random SEC matchup or this random Big 12 matchup.
I watch this at night. Randomly, just like college football highlights, and now I can just watch this while I'm on the air, completely off topic.
But Georgia Tech and Air beat Florida State.
Oh yeah, gosh, I forgot that was where we started. Holy cow, I was going to go even further with Georgia Tech. Yeah, kicking the game-winning field goal and then being able to boast a top 25 win over a 2-10. Florida State team, like, oh, yeah. But it was a top 25 win. It mattered back in there. And
for Georgia Tech to use that to go to the Birmingham Bowl
and
lose to Vanderbilt.
A great win. I do have a thought, but we need to get to the Send Medicine text box first, which you can always be a part of at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And it's our good buddy Jeff down in Enterprise who gives us the inside scoop on all things referees and says the officials are also ready to go recording, I guess, with Friday nights, but also college football as well. Says, try to remember to be nice to us, guys. We're getting like Bigfoot out here. We're hard to find. And so just make the call that makes the fans happy, right? I mean, that's all you have to do. I'm just kidding.
Hey, just take care of the Auburn High Tigers down. We had the Enterprise. That's all. That's all. That's all I ask. You're not gonna hear it from us.
No, you won't hear much about that on either of our sports networks as well, because we understand the value of what it takes to be a referee to piss off 50% of the fan base single play. Yeah,
yeah. I want to be one of the guys that the ref that's like, he just was like, he wasn't holding, he was physically overpowered.
Yeah,
that guy Ed something.
He was overpowered. Yeah. Giving him the business.
You giving him the business. Great one. I believe that was an NC State Wake Forest game. Maybe it was NC State. I know that much.
There's some fantastic official microphone calls that story.
Or the hot mic. It's like, what the? And he's like, it's like swear word. Those are always funny.
Or the one recently, and we're killing time, so that way we can start the AP conversation at 2:30, but the call most recently on the ABS, where it was the Cubs are challenging, you know, the ball call or the strike call, and the umpire turned around and said, "Please be a strike," and then the microphone picked up all of it into the stadium, and it's like, oh gosh, yeah, that's very tough. But speaking of highlights, and I know that this won't mean as much to you as it does for me, it'll make all of the Auburn fans happy, but also very sad. I've done it, and I've fallen victim to it too many times. The 2019 run to the Final Four for basketball, and Jared Harper, Bryce Brown, just absolutely dominating, especially in that Kentucky game. Watching Bryce Brown, who's known for his three-point game, take things off the dribble in his mid-range jumper, and then Jared Harper, his two layups to start overtime, and then the blow-by with a minute to go. I feel like I remember every single play in basketball, but we're going to flip the football in the AP Top 25 when we come back.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes in to the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, and I promise we are going to dive into the AP Top 25 here in this segment. But funny enough, did get a text on the personal line, not the Send Medicine text box, from John in Auburn that says, yes, at the end of regulation in that game, he said Anthony McLemore was Horace Spencer, but I'll let that slide. He said shoots a three for the win, misses it, and Bryce Brown's livid that he didn't get it back. Yes, on the left wing, I can still hear the call of Spencer! No! And, oh, yeah.
I think I have a
bonus basketball in St. Louis. Oh, man.
I have a screenshot of the an Instagram post that, like, they posted early, basically, of Auburn's going to the national championship after the foul. And it was like, I screenshot it perfectly because they uploaded
Turn
it early.
Turn your mic off. I don't want to talk about that.
I'm sorry.
For those that want to know, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious about everything. I'm a baseball player, so
fair.
It's natural.
I'm superstitious, for
that
sure.
Is the reason that Auburn has been cursed. People say that it was the World Series in 2021 for the Braves. No.
Yes.
It was for the four individuals that rolled Toomer's Corner before the foul on Kyle Guy in the left wing from Samir Devon.
Oh.
See, I'm telling you, I remember this like it's...
So a question. Are you...
I punched a hole in my wall after that. Dude, I would...
Do you okay? So are you?
We had to go get plaster for Home Depot. That was one of the teaching points of
your childhood.
Yeah.
I never did that. No, did you? So you're someone that you're not a roll Toomer's Corner for anything cool. It has to be an Auburn sports win.
I mean,
because
that's
people
a sensitive
that have, like,
subject.
Wrote,
but it was more the fact of you rolled it and then Auburn lost.
Yeah, no,
that was because they rolled it before they rolled
why?
The possession before.
Why
before the double dribble? And then they picked it up, got it to Kyle Guy. Samir Dowdy clipped his feet. And then Kyle Guy made all three free throws, made the first two. Auburn called timeout. Kyle made the last one. If we want to get real technical, Bryce Brown was fouled on the possession after, but they're not going to call a foul on a desperation shot. But
so you were
No,
I'm superstitious.
I could talk 2 hours about memories like that.
I'm very superstitious. I'm glad.
I think that's half of my brain. It just works in random Auburn and random sports moments.
Yeah.
I could easily dive into anything on that side. I mean, that entire run was so fun. That was, yeah, that was my senior year of high school. And one of my social studies teachers was a huge Kansas fan. And we made the jokes because there was no way that Auburn was beating Kansas in the round of 32, right? Well, the run that Bryce had himself in that game was absolutely stupid. I will not say that they were the best team in college basketball, but they were the hottest team in college basketball, and they did that without Chuma too. Oh man,
yeah.
Core memories for better or for worse.
My March Madness core memory obviously for Auburn, it was the Yale loss. That I remember where I was in Athens. I was going to Athens, and I was so mad that day. Like, I was like, do we just not want to go out tonight? Like, do we just want to sit and stew over this? But we ended up going anyway. I remember for Georgia Tech in 2021, we had won the ACC Conference Championship. And we're like, oh, we're back. We're going to make a run. People were saying like they're like the 8 seed to watch out for. And then Moses Wright gets COVID, and we lose to Loyola Chicago, who beat the number one seed the next week. So, like, I think we would have been so good that year. But I know, you know, if we were talking basketball, this man was going to call. We go to the phone lines as Terry is calling in. Terry, are you calling in to talk some Auburn basketball? What you were thinking during the Final Four and all this stuff?
Yeah, on the Final Four run, it's hard to argue their closest game might have been the first one in the tournament.
Yeah, because that will, I mean, if they, oh God, who was that? I'm blanking on.
Was it New Mexico State?
New Mexico State, yes. If they make the three in the near corner, Auburn loses that basketball game. And that was almost like the wake-up call. And then, yeah, the run of the three Blue Bloods, literally, to make your way to the Final Four in Virginia.
When I saw the bracket and the Auburn draw, I said, no way they're going to make it past that three.
No, I don't think. I mean, nobody even really expected Auburn with that run of okay, Kansas next after Kansas being having a little bit of a down year, but Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. It was like if you find a way to upset Kansas, that would be a major win for the season in itself. Much less all three of those after losing both in the regular season to Kentucky, getting blown out at Rupp Arena. It was a close one at Neville Arena, but. Yeah, then being able to go to overtime, and gosh, I mean, that team, again, watching those highlights last night, that was P.J. Washington, that was Tyler Hero. Those are all, legitimate NBA players right now. And, again, that shows that Auburn was just the hottest team in the country at that point.
Yeah, they were incredibly hot. And to think where they've fallen now.
What do you mean? They're champions, Terry.
Champions is more like it. The 69th best team in the country.
Hey, that spot gets into the NCAA tournament now.
Well, it does now, but it didn't then.
No, it did not. It did not. What are your overall thoughts from Auburn and Greece?
I try not to give it any thought.
That's fair. Honestly, fair. Take that with pre-season. A grain of salt, and we'll work our way to Neville Arena here.
Now, I want to ask you guys one football question.
Yes, sir.
The poll that come out, what is Alabama ranked?
Alabama is the...
They're 13. This is the first time in 18 years they've been outside of the top 10.
Wow. I know it's been a long time, but I didn't think they'd be ranked 13. I thought they were like 10th or 11th. Like
yeah, so there are 9 SEC teams in the top 25, and a lot of them are basically reading them in order. You look at A&M at 8, Ole Miss at 9, Oklahoma at 10, LSU at 11, Texas Tech in there at 12th, and then Alabama right in there at 13th.
Did you say Ole Miss is at 9?
I did, yes. Yes, sir.
That's way too high.
I don't disagree with you at all. Same thing with LSU.
It's 11? A lot of last year's success or this year's hope. You feel like, but just looking at those two teams in itself, it goes to show the miscalculations and you feel like the errors that go into a week zero AP poll.
Well, when the defensive coordinators and the defensive coaches in this league have a year to prepare for a quarterback like Chambliss, it's going to spell the end. It's going to be trouble for him.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. And you look at the fact of, I think that they put so much stock in that playoff run. And you should put a little bit of stock into it. But now that people have a full year to prepare, it's a new offensive coordinator, and you're not going to have the emotions that led you to that playoff run. I don't see Ole Miss being a playoff team this year, but I think they have the talent to. It's just, do they have the coaching?
I don't have either one.
I think that's a growing topic of belief, despite LSU projected to finish third, I believe, in the SEC, and at least according to the SEC Media Day voting guide that went out. But I think Tripp and I both had LSU a little bit, or had Ole Miss a little bit further down than that, because I think that's beginning to be a growing trend of maybe this team, when you look at their schedule, you look at this talent, maybe this is a little bit more of an 8-4 type of football team.
Okay, Christian, you and Tripp, one quick basketball question left I got.
Yeah.
Is Stephen Pearl still the coach at Auburn?
Yes.
I talked to you guys. I'm going to the toilet.
good for Terry for getting the Stephen Pearl jab in on the way out. I mean, it was still a couple months away from basketball season, but hey, maybe the newest addition, Colby, is the key to success for Stephen Pearl.
Nice.
Bringing it in this year. The Utah State transfer, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked much about that Friday, but okay, we'll be able to talk with Jacob Hillman at 3:30 mm-hmm. about that, but definitely a
happy Monday, sir. Glad we could get that out of your system for the remainder of the week, cuz now it's just going to be a great week cuz you've gotten that out, and that's all that you needed to. Send Medicine text box, always open as well, at 334-784-1685. Again, 334-784-1OTL. And got a text in there that says, I'm from Auburn. The wildest thing that I've ever seen was them roll tumors corner. The wildest thing I ever saw them roll tumors for was a house fire. It was for a fire at the president's house on campus.
They rolled tumors corner for that.
I guess so.
Man.
Then referring to the 2019 season, said he was living outside of Raleigh for the North Carolina game, so he had a lot of fun
being able to go outside and cheer. That's the best, is when, you know, you obviously want to be like a hometown fan, like being in Auburn, being in the state of Alabama, but there's a special kind of like just comeuppance that you get. And as someone that lived in a state that was primarily dominated by their rival.
We
both did. Is that when you'd beat them, oh, man, the biggest Georgia fans that I would see, I bet you were the same. If Auburn beat Georgia or Georgia Tech beat Georgia, buddy, I'd be obnoxious. Because it takes a special breed to do that, you know?
Funny enough, I've always been somebody of, like, I didn't need to say anything.
I would, okay, but see, I've gotten that way as I've gotten older.
I was going to say, when you were, you definitely give off the type of vibe to, like, send the text.
I remember,
like, good game, maybe next year.
No, well, I didn't do that.
I haven't talked to you in 10 years.
No, I don't do that. Like, it would always be friendly banter, but I remember when I was like 9 or 10, I called my buddy Henry. And Henry is one of I attempted to call my buddy Henry, who is one of the biggest Georgia fans that I know. Goes to the University of Georgia, and I love talking Georgia with this guy. He knows what he's talking about. But I remember I was a kid, and Aaron Murray got hurt like right before the end of the season, and I called him and left him a voicemail being like, haha, Aaron Murray got hurt.
What
you guys
were
going to lose 20. Gosh.
Because I can think of a possible reason
2012, why. 2013. I believe it was because of Mr. D. Ford or
Nick Fairley.
Nick Fairley, yeah.
Yeah.
I called him. And his mom listened to the voicemail, and I had to call her and apologize because I was so rude. I was at my grandma. I remember where I was because I got in so much trouble for talking crap to my friend because she was also an alumna of the University of Georgia. And I remember that vividly. Like, she called my mom and was like, Tripp just sent the most disgusting voicemail. And I'm like, I just was making fun of your quarterback.
It's like, ma'am, you should hear what your son says to me.
No, he won't. He will not take my phone calls on Saturdays. If Georgia's down, like, I will call him or text. Like, I've tried calling him, not even like to talk trash, just to be like, what's happening? Like, I'm not watching the game. I'm doing something. What's happening? He will decline on the first ring and say, I'm not talking to you. Like, he does not talk to me if Georgia loses for like a good week. And it's not even like I'm trying to talk trash. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. I just want the insider perspective.
Yeah, true. But meanwhile, if Tech would lose, I would just cry. I was a little kid.
I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah.
It's cool to care.
It's cool to care. I'd rather do that than have one of my other buddies is like one of those like fair weather fans.
The world makes it seem like it's not cool. Halfway motivational, halfway comical, halfway legitimate speech, 150%. A lot of halves. It's cool to care. Okay?
Okay.
Care about what you love. Love what you care about.
Mmm.
It's cool.
But you know what we don't love? the AP poll.
Don't love the gosh dang AP poll. It makes good content. It makes good conversation. And we've made jokes about this for 45 minutes now of our program. And we have named some names. I promised we would talk about it, and I got scared that I was going to break my promise. But we're not, because we did list off a couple of these team names. But going rather quickly, and this will probably work its way into hour number two as well. But you mentioned it, the joking spots of Missouri, always somewhere from 21 to 25 to get a season started. Louisville at number 24, Houston at number 23. You have Iowa as the 22nd ranked team in the country. Utah at 21, Tennessee at number 20.
If you had to buy stock in one of those teams that would finish inside the top 20 this season.
From 25 to 20?
Yes, because like Indiana was around this spot last year and won a national championship.
Utah.
Utah?
Yeah.
Why?
Devin Dampier.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I just wonder if, you know, having a veteran coach like Kyle Whittingham made that place so attractive for people in the college football playoff. And I'm not to say Morgan Staley is not a good coach, but you got to play Arkansas. That's an SEC opponent, maybe not the top tier of SEC, but it's an SEC opponent. But you do have one of the best home environments in college football. I don't think that's a bad pick.
I know Louisville is kind of in there as well.
That's mine is Louisville, because I think out of that six. I think they have the best quarterback in Lincoln Kielenholtz. I know he hasn't played a lot, but he's got the highest floor. I think Isaac Brown could be the best running back in the country, depending on Ahmad Hardy's health. And I think they've got the best head coach, offensive wise, maybe behind Josh Heupel out of that six.
Real quickly, just for the sake of this conversation, we'll take a break and we'll continue counting down. Looking at Utah's football schedule, you ready? Rapid fire.
Got it.
Idaho.
Win.
Arkansas at home.
When it's at home.
That's the 9-15 game.
If it was in Fayetteville, I might lean upset, but I'm going to go win.
Utah State.
Win.
At Iowa State.
Win, because you don't know what Iowa State's going to look. If this was a Matt Campbell team, it'd be a loss.
Home for Kansas.
Win.
At Colorado.
Win. Deion won't be there by then.
Home for Houston.
I'm going to go first loss right there.
On the road at Cincinnati. You get one of those.
I think you win. Yeah.
Okay. Home for BYU.
Loss.
What a game that could be.
Loss.
On the road at Arizona.
Noah I don't know.
Fafita.
Is Fafita still there?
He is.
I think Arizona, sneaky upset.
Of Arizona wins?
I think Arizona wins.
On the road at TCU.
Win.
Home for West Virginia.
Win. I think that's 9-3.
At worst, that is 9-3. That's a top 20 team.
Sure. But much less
if you steal one, if BYU and Bear Bachmeyer aren't what they want to be in year two, or if Utah's just that good. Because
if we
talk about the Mormons at night, I mean, Rice Eccles at night could also be get that place rocking again.
But the problem is, Christian, how many ranked wins are you going to have? If you are a team with 9 wins but no ranked wins, even if you're 9-3, you're best at going to be like 23. I mean, are they going to put an 8-4 SEC with a top 25 win versus a Utah team that goes 9-3?
Doesn't matter, because week 0 AP poll is out and there's already rankings. Even though I think, one of their only ones is BYU.
And they can win that game. It's the Holy War. That's a throw out the record book rivalry. But I'm so high on Bear Bachmeyer, and I think Kalani Sitake should be power four. He should be a power two head coach. But
I am as well.
And they have the funding, the crumble cookie money. Come on now.
Him and
no free ads. I'm just saying.
That's
the guy that spearheaded the keep Kalani Sitake from going to Penn State campaign.
Really?
Yeah. Legitimately, they run on
AJ DeBons is just going to have
correct
all sorts of crumble connections.
Yeah.
But yes, Bear Bachmeyer, L.J. Martin should be a really.
They have some. I need to find out if they have the white slot receiver like tight end that they had, because that dude cooked Georgia Tech last season in the Pop-Tart Bowl.
There was one who left BYU for similar reasons that Jake Retzlaff left. But those got revoked. And so he can play football again, but it can't be at BYU because of religious ties that I'm not going to dive
into. I think it was Parker Kingston.
I almost said Parker Livingston, but yes.
Oh, no, he's right. I believe he is graduated from what it appears. Man, dude, 1,000-yard receiver.
He had another year, though.
He had four. Okay, because he played in, he might have been a red shirt. I don't know. That's it's him. That's the guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is no longer at BYU.
No. He's allowed to play football, but not for Brigham Young anymore because, again, reasons I'm not going to dive into on the radio. We are going to take a break, though. We'll come back, and we'll quickly continue. We're not finishing up this conversation because we still got to give you the inside top 20 of our favorite thing in the world, the AP Top 25 before the football season even kicks off.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. It's days like this that make our show so fun because, again, we have on our rundown 2 to 215 top 25 AP poll. 215 to 230, we continue that segment, but then we dive into who all Auburn plays, and then we're also looking at last year's week one AP poll. It's 253, and we're continuing this conversation, but we wouldn't want it any other way, being able to talk Braves, being able to talk random basketball, being able to talk football memories. I mean, this is what makes our show so fun, and so appreciate everybody who has already been a part of today's program, whether that's on the phone lines, whether that's the Send Medicine text box. We're having a blast here this afternoon and looking forward to continuing that here in hour number two.
Christian, we've, as journalists, we've made a mistake here, and we need to rectify it, and we need to cover this. The AFCA FCS coaches poll has just dropped. Montana State, Montana are the top two teams. South Dakota State, Illinois State, and Tarleton State round out the top five. From what I see here, no teams from the state of Alabama, which I disagree with, but I think that that's Southeastern Louisiana, a team that South Alabama plays week one is on here. Mm-hmm. But I love the FCS coaches, like the polls that FCS does. I don't know why. I know that you also are a fan of like the small football, like G6 FCS, and that's kind of what we're doing with this big segment that we're having during the week. Alabama State receiving votes, I believe, so they would be 26, 27, 28, 29.
This is okay, so this is the coaches poll. You said
the FCS coaches poll.
For some reason, I was thinking you were saying the like coaches ranked. This is just coaches poll ranking.
Coaches
the teams.
Poll, yes, the coaches poll.
Okay,
sorry, that makes a little bit more sense.
No, that's I was thinking like we're ranking like FCS coaches and like okay, but I see.
Yes, they released the connection, and this is the official FCS poll, effectively for the season. So good to know. I didn't know that they, again, I knew that they did this, but I love it.
Looking at Georgia about to beat Tennessee in overtime. I still have no idea how Tennessee found a way to lose this game.
Yeah. We'll see, but
Auburn
know what?
Has the chance this year.
Where, you know, we've talked a little bit about Tennessee being number 20. We'll have to see where Georgia is as we continue through the AP poll, hopefully in hour number two.
Yeah, that's the plan. It wasn't the plan, but now it's the plan. We'll talk that. We'll talk $40 million rosters and how there's a weird correlation between the two of them and how they decide to both be in the top 10 when you're looking at things like that. All of that, plus Jacob Hillman joining us at 3:30, all coming up here in hour number two.
Production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
We continue diving into the AP Top 25, the $40 million rosters, and Jacob Hillman all in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Here's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here and spending some time with us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. A fun show that it's been so far. A lot of texts, a lot of phone calls here as well that we will never, ever complain about. Again, having a really, really fun time here in the studio and a very, very hot Monday afternoon here, the first day of classes getting underway for the Auburn University students. It really hurts to see that today or last night we heard the fireworks from Jordan-Hare Stadium, and it was celebrating the class of 2030.
Wow.
So
holy unk. It makes me feel old. I mean, I couldn't hear it, unfortunately, where I was, but I've heard them in the past, and like been the year that I was supposed to do it, it rained, and then I did Campbell Regal, and then it rained, so they couldn't do fireworks either night.
Campbell Regal just post COVID from transferring, and they had technology.
Was it transferring? Was it SOS or was it Camp War Eagle for you? Because I know they have a transfer one now.
What it was, but it was just online, and they had they had technology issues, and so it went from 9 to 9:15, and that was it.
Wow,
it was supposed to be literally like all day, and so I'm pretty sure we were on vacation, and I had to like sit up in the beach house or something, or on the condo. And then like 15 minutes later, it was like, oh, okay, sweet, I'm done. In hour number one, it's a lot of what today's show has been. But in hour number one, we kind of dove into the AP Top 25. We'll dive into a lot more of that here this afternoon. But we talked, gosh, what all did we talk in hour number one? We talked Auburn's 2019 Final Four run. We talked about Rolling Tumors Corner.
We talked about the basketball team, obviously the Final Four. We talked about superstitions. We talked about the game that we were watching on the TV in here of Georgia-Tennessee, recapping that. Yeah. High school football we talked a lot about, and where you need to be this Friday night, which is on either in Duck Sanford Stadium, Judd Scott Field, Wings 94.3, or AU 100.3 with the Auburn High and Lee Scott Sports Networks.
Yeah.
We talked about everything in hour number one.
It was. It was a little bit of just about everything. And our callers and our texters continued to distract us from getting to our rundown.
Hey, distract us all you guys want. I mean, it's good to get feedback from y'all, for sure.
There was going to be a comma, but with a good reasoning. No, I'm just playing. But again, all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out over at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Talk to him about some soccer victories that the team had this weekend. A great win, I believe it was yesterday.
Over Jacksonville State.
Yes, for him, for the team, for Jackson Coivin's weekend, and was able to, and we'll also talk about this AP Top 25 poll, and what you need to expect there. Maybe get in some Auburn scrimmage notes, either with Jacob Hillman or on our own. But the phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes if you want to continue talking about legitimately whatever you want, at 334-321-1390. You can always text in 24/7 at the Sen Medicine text box at 334-784-1OTL. The text box is brought to you by Sen Medicine. At Sen Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com, S-E-N-N, medicine.com. The text box, again, 334-784-1685. And it's really the place to be right now if you want to be able to send in stuff to us on the line. But on August 22nd and 23rd, the place to be is going to be Neville Arena. For the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory, an event with more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports memorabilia, sports collectibles, and either sports cards and Pokemon cards as well for my gamers. Neville Arena will play host to all of this, plus there's going to be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, Dominique Wilkins, and Tim Hudson. Auburn will also have their own celebrities and autographs with a chance to meet the various players and teams that will compete this season for Auburn University. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance your experience. If you're a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports, August 22nd and 23rd will be the two-day fan experience like no other. Aubie is planning on being there both days, and there will be a kids zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit OnToVictory.com/cardshow, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes along with the Auburn student athletes of today. That's OnToVictory.com/cardshow.
Boom.
Boom.
That's all you need to know. Need to be there.
Where else do we need to be this weekend, Christian? On Friday? From 2 to 4?
I think we need to be at Winter Timber.
Join us at Winter Timber Outdoors this Friday, August 21st, as ESPN 106.7's On the Line and the Drive will be coming to you live on location. Stop in and celebrate the big one-year anniversary with us in Winter Timber Outdoors. Stop by and see both Christian and myself from 2 to 4 on Friday before we head out to our high school games. Bill Cameron, Don Dunn, and the Drive will be there from 4 to 6. Then come back on Saturday for Winter Timber Outdoors Customer Appreciation Day, where we are able to appreciate you. Kick off hunting season with free food, giveaways, and huge sales throughout the store. Be sure to join us this Friday from 2 to 4 at Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn. 2 to 6 for Auburn Network. We'll be there 2 to 4, so make sure to tune in and come out. Say hello to everybody. Get you some nice looking t-shirts, some good hunting gear for our hunters out there. They got everything that you could think of there at Winter Timber Outdoors. So I'm excited to be able to be out there doing a remote in Auburn for the first time. I guess the only remote we've done is the remote broadcast from Tampa.
Yeah.
But excited to do that. Excited to be with the good people over at Winter Timber Outdoors. I'm sure Brody Thomas, the GM there, has some thoughts about Tennessee being ranked in the top 20. We'll have to get his thoughts more out there about what he thinks is going to happen this year for the Vols. But Christian, this top 25 poll, as we continue through this, 20 to 10 or 20 to 15 has some really interesting teams with both high potential but also a potential for it to go very bad very quickly.
Yeah, again, real quickly, looking at 25 through 20, Missouri 25th, 24 Louisville, Houston at 23rd, Iowa at 22nd. You have Utah coming in as the 21st ranked team in the country. You have Tennessee at number 20. And again, some of the teams, the others receiving votes. Clemson was the top vote getter, not ranked in the top 25. Florida was the second with 51 votes towards the Florida Gators. Auburn had 3. Vanderbilt also had 8. South Carolina had 10. So do with that all what you will. But you dive into the top 20, and you start with SMU at number 19. You have Rhett Lashley. You have the ACC schedule. You have Kevin Jennings, who, I mean, is going to throw for 8,000 passing yards, it feels like, in that system like he does every single year. But concerned about what's around him in terms of SMU. You have Penn State. Is that the Penn State Fighting
Cyclones?
Cyclones? I believe that's what I'm seeing. It doesn't say that on this list, but that's kind of what I see. You have Washington and the quarterback drama with Damon Williams, but Husky Stadium, a fantastic place to go watch a football game, one of the more underrated environments in college football. Michigan at number 16, with obviously the question marks on what Bryce Underwood is going to look like, what that coaching staff is going to do with him, if they make him a dual threat, which he is, and you feel like he was very much eliminated to the solo dropbacks, and so it's like, okay, are you going to allow him to use his athleticism or not? And then you have a T-14.
Yes.
You do not have a 15th ranked team, because why would you do that? We have to be different here at the AP News. USC, University of Southern Cal, and BYU are for some reason tied for 14th, and that's about as crazy as your airplane taking off on the other side of the desk.
Yeah, the laptop is struggling today.
I mean, that AP poll is
I know
that one tab.
I have three open, but it's one is Google. So because I wanted to pull up SMU's schedule, because this Mustangs team, you talk about a schedule. I'm going to run you through this schedule, Christian. Kind of instant react, win or loss. You ready?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah.
Florida State on Monday night. A little Monday night college football from Doak Campbell, as Florida State's been doing really recently, is playing on those weird nights of the weekend.
I don't love that.
So you say loss?
Skip it for now.
Okay, UC Davis.
That's a win.
Louisville on the road.
It's a loss.
Missouri State.
It's a win.
Boston College at home.
Win.
Virginia at home.
Win.
Really?
Yeah.
Cal at home.
Oh, gosh. That's going to be the first one to score 70 points. Battle of the Southpaw, the lefty quarterbacks. Oh, give me the home team. I'll take SMU. I don't like that, though. I'll give that as one of the either that or Florida State.
Okay. Syracuse on the road in the Carrier Dome.
That's a win.
Virginia Tech at home.
Win. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Wake Forest.
Win. Oh, gosh. I don't like how many.
Notre Dame.
Loss.
Stanford on the road.
Win.
8-4 with losses to Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I believe you said
either Florida State or Cal.
Louisville. And I think you had one more.
I had 9-3 in there.
Okay, maybe you did and I miscounted. Sorry, but 9-3. Yeah, because I think I said really about Virginia Tech and Virginia.
Yeah.
9-3 SMU. I mean, that's certainly a schedule where.
But even that's one that you don't feel good about.
I'm very curious. I think if that Florida State game is an out of conference, in conference. Oh, no, this is SMU's one of the teams that's playing a 9-game ACC schedule.
Yeah.
So that means, yeah. So they could go 2-1 in the non conference. I mean, and play an easy ACC. I mean, but I don't know. I think Virginia and Virginia Tech can 100%. I think they lose one of those games, even though they're both at home. I mean, I don't love the head coach at Virginia, whose name I'm blanking on right now, the former Clemson running back coach and offensive coordinator. I thought that he was going to get fired before last season's explosion. You lose Chandler Morris. You bring in Bo Prabula.
Is it Tony Elliott?
Tony Elliott, yes. Thank you. You bring in Bo Prabula, who's a good quarterback, but I don't know there. And then Virginia Tech is just, again, the Virginia Tech fighting Penn State Nittany Lions. I mean, that's all they are. I hope that, like, the Pinstripe Bowl is this Penn State team versus Virginia Tech.
Just not Auburn and South Florida. Well, I wouldn't mind it.
But it would have to be.
It's one of those lose-lose situations for
unless Auburn. It's like a 70-0 throttling, because right. Then it's like, yeah, you didn't have a good bowl game, but you win a bowl game, and you just the city of Tampa would not be friend would continue to cry about Alex Golish not doing media availability. But what did the out of these teams, Christian, you know, I gave my kind of I was like, we don't know about SMU. What is your team from BYU to SMU that you think will be out of the top 25 at the end of this season?
Oh, gosh. Do I dare?
Because there's a team on here that I think talent-wise probably could be.
Do I dare go Penn State?
Their schedule, Christian. Have you looked at their schedule?
That's the reason why I don't want to go.
I'm going to they play Marshall, at Temple, Buffalo, Wisconsin, at Northwestern in that new tiny stadium that they have. USC's a tough one. That's their wideout game. At Michigan, Purdue, at Washington, Minnesota, Rutgers, at Maryland.
That's gross.
They play two tough games next year.
They're
going to be a 10-2 team. Again, another big team is like you might have one top 25 win. And it might be with Washington, if even.
I don't know.
I'm interested to see what USC is going to look like next year.
I figured that was going to be your answer. I don't know if I would say
confidently that they're the team that I'd be calling sus on, But when you
you'd be calling what
sus like suspect?
Okay. Youngsters.
I know. Sorry. I mean, you play San Jose State, Fresno State, Louisiana, a classic Big Ten non-con. Although Fresno State has been decent, they actually have fun sports statistic of the day. They're 2-0 in the Rose Bowl against UCLA. The SEC is 0-2.
Hmm.
You look at this in conference
schedule.
It just
means more, baby.
It just means more. You got to go to Piscataway, New Jersey to take on Rutgers. You got to play Oregon. You got to play Washington. Both those are in Trojan Stadium. You got to go to Happy Valley. You got at Wisconsin, Ohio State, at Indiana, Maryland, and at UCLA. I mean, can Lincoln Riley survive 8-4?
I just I'm a huge Jade Maiava fan. There's no Mekhi Lemon, which is going to be a very big difference in terms of a go-to receiver because Maiava is, I mean, or Mekhi Lemon was a 10 grab triple digit wide receiver.
Jack, please don't make fun of my grammar choices because I'm a youngster.
I'm not reading that over the air.
I'm not reading that either, but it's, you know, for someone that was born in the 1900s, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Congratulations,
yes.
Round of applause for Mr. Jack Hutton. He did not get down on one knee. He faked it. He faked it. Jack, if you're listening, he faked it. He faked the kneel. He hid the midget, and he's running weak side while the entire offensive line runs to the right. But congratulations, man! In all
locked
seriousness,
locked up the top prospect.
Yes,
sent the house, and now is engaged. Congratulations to Mr. Hutton, one of my broadcast partners.
A big week for Mr. Hutton with Miss Caroline and the Auburn High Sports Network. And so I know we'll have him back in the studio again before too long. But tell you what, we need to take a break. We're going to continue diving into this, and we'll quickly hit the top 15 in the AP poll, top 25, before we get with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network to take a big look around all things Auburn athletics. We're off and running here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick with us.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on ESPN 106.7, he is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Going to work rather quickly through the top 13 of the AP poll, top 25, since there is a tie for 14th with BYU and USC. And it doesn't take long to get to a rival in Alabama, who sits as the 13th ranked team in the AP poll, top 25. You got to put that phone down. I'm seeing the messages, but I can't laugh right now. But otherwise, it'll be bad for me. Alabama at 13th. You have Texas Tech at number 12. You then have that humongous list. Again, 9 teams in the SEC are in this AP poll top 25. And it starts with LSU at number 11. You then have Oklahoma at number 10. Ole Miss at number 9. Texas A&M at number 8. We'll go that half right there of a team that stood out to you, whether that's on the too much respect or the disrespect side of things with 14, or I guess 13 through 8.
I've been vocal about my lack of trust for this LSU team. Again, if you were to look and take the two of the four games that they play at the beginning of the season are against teams that are ranked higher than them, and one of them being on the road, if they lose to A&M and Ole Miss, they start out the season 2-2, and that's assuming they beat Clemson. Again, there's going to be some conversations. There's going to be some Cajuns freaking out in Louisiana talking about how Lane Kiffin, it was a snake oil salesman, did not promise the big wins that he – or did not deliver the big wins he promised.
I'm interested with Texas Tech, too. I know that their defense is still going to be incredible, especially that linebacker core and the front four. I guess that front seven is still going to be really, really good. But how much of that is Brendan Sorsby related? Would they be a whole lot higher? Would they be where they are, even with it, even if it was Brennan Sorsby still leading the charge for the Red Raiders. And then you get into the top seven. You have Miami. You have Indiana, who, again, the former national champion. Are you somebody that is, if they win the national championship, they do not be, they are not discrowned, or they are not kicked off the top of the pedestal, or do you see no true value? Again, they received 8 first place votes, I think, rather than Ohio State, who again is number one with 40.
I think if you take that opinion, that's not the wrong opinion at all. Like, if you say that, like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, you shouldn't do that, because I think at the end of the day, they are the top dog until challenged. However, we are trying to project who the best teams are in 2026, not 2025. I think if you gave me these two teams on a neutral side, our good friend Jacob Goins would probably disagree with me, but I would take Ohio State. I think that they have a – although I do like Josh Hoover, I think they have a better running back or quarterback. I think their running back room is going to be elite for Ohio State. They still have the sacred – even without Brian Hartline, they still have top-end receivers, including Jeremiah Smith. I just think Ohio State is a better team. I think I'm fine with that, but Indiana – if you have Indiana number one, totally cool with me.
How funny is it, though, that Indiana and Florida – funny for the younger generation that the national championship was played between the 6th-ranked team and the 7th-ranked team, according to the AP poll top 25. But also just from the standpoint that they're that far down. And you go to the top five, and you're not surprised by any of these names. It's more so who's who in terms of – I'm right, you're right, he's right, she's right, in terms of where you want to place these teams. Texas at 5, Notre Dame at 4, Georgia at 3, Oregon at 2, Ohio State as the week 0 current AP top 25 number one team. Again, Texas, Notre Dame, Georgia, Oregon, and Ohio State. And at least on my side of things, you could put just about any one of those teams anywhere, and I wouldn't give too big of an argument one way or the other.
It's really interesting to me that that both Georgia and Texas, despite being in the top seven, were the only teams not to receive a vote for number one in the top seven. No SEC team was ranked the top team in the country this year. I don't know if that tells you that people are undervaluing the SEC or that the SEC is just not what it used to be. Again, we've heard it all offseason. But I don't disagree, because I think the top line of Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana is better than the top line of Georgia, Texas, and I guess by this Texas A&M. And even have, you know, I think that it'll be really interesting to see how the season goes on if some of those teams start getting those number one votes, or if they continue to consolidate to the Ohio States and the Indianas. I guarantee you one thing, though, in week two, if the Texas Longhorns go into the horseshoe or host – sorry, I think they host Ohio State this year. Mm-hmm. If they win that game, they will be at very worst number two, and they will not be by close. I guarantee that.
It's the same thing with Michigan going up to the Big House this year. I mean, if you get two SEC teams getting wins like that early on, because you mentioned it, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana, three of the top teams from the Big Ten and the top six, yet there are 9 SEC teams in the top 25. And again, a lot of those – again, in a straight line from 8, 9, 10, 11, you skip one and go to Alabama at 13. You have Tennessee in there. You have Missouri in there. And so
I think the drop-off from Indiana to USC Michigan is way bigger than the drop, and that being like at the fourth best Big Ten team versus the fourth best SEC team being Ole Miss.
If I were to tell you that Indiana doesn't make the playoffs and Michigan does, or USC does, you're like, wow. If I were to tell you that Oklahoma makes the playoff instead of Texas A&M, there's not too many people that go, are you serious? No way, I don't believe that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people going, oh yeah, I said that. People are saying that now at the beginning of the season.
Like, same thing with LSU, possibly with Alabama as well. And so, again, just goes to show you the depth of the entire league versus just the top two or three teams in there. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us when we come back, talking all things Auburn athletics and what's going on around the calendar.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. And once it becomes 3:30, you know that that time is concreted in for Mr. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. My man, appreciate you for taking some time to join us this afternoon. Hopefully, at the bare minimum, it brought you inside to the air conditioning for a little bit.
Yeah, it's been definitely a brutal last few days, definitely weekend. As far as the heat's concerned, but I mean, we've got Auburn athletic sporting events, and you can't complain about that whatsoever.
No, between that and although it hurts to see the realization of the first day of classes, again, made the joke earlier that last night inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, all the fireworks going off, celebrating the class of 2030 making their way to the Plains. As a very recent graduate, I know you're in that same boat. That makes us feel quite old. I know that the folks listening may have just given me the finger for saying that I feel old for that. But it's a weird realization to see that we're now watching more and more students make their way to the Plains.
It's always a beautiful time of the year. Yes, it's crazy and it's wild, and you have to look out on the roads a little bit more. But listen, it's part of what makes this life cycle go, and it means we're that much closer to Auburn football season, and Auburn soccer and Auburn volleyball season are already here.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to get to those here in just a few moments, but wanted to start the conversation outside of the Auburn Sports Network side of things, but a guy that you've covered for quite some time making his way to the professional level, and that's Jackson Koivun, who finished T24 in round one of the St. Jude Championship. He will not continue on with the FedEx playoff standings. Again, I believe needed a top seven finish, and unfortunately, triple bogey on 11 kind of put a big stop into that. Still finished even par on the day, went 3-under after that. But just kind of talk about what you saw from Jackson Koivun over the weekend, and then a couple of comments on why world number one is world number one.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's really interesting. Just the last few months for Jackson, it's probably just been an absolute whirlwind, from winning his second national championship here on the Plains with the Tigers, and also sweeping the national awards for college golfers for the second time in his career after doing it in his freshman year, and then winning low medalist honors or low amateur honors at the U.S. Open. And then that all parlays into him winning in his third career professional start. And now there's all kinds of hype and praise around him, even talking about him making the President's Cup team and all these other lofty expectations. So for him to manage those as well as he has is really incredible. Sure, his last few weeks since that win, no, he hasn't finished in the top 10 or really contended, but he's really making his mark on the PGA Tour. All right, he's going to be there each and every weekend. As long as he's in the field, he's getting to that point where he is going to at least make a little bit of a tier. You're going to think about him whenever he's back there on the leaderboard. And to your point, I mean, really, I think this weekend showed what Scottie Scheffler was made of, just from the aspect of him not winning all year long.
Yeah.
And from the breakthrough in the way that he did was just really impressive. And what was obviously, we mentioned it at the start of how hot it was this weekend, but to fight through that. And there were plenty of big names up there, obviously with the playoffs starting right there. But he and his lead got down to one on Sunday, but that was it.
From was that there, after the, he just after dominated the sprinkler
and
head?
Looked incredible. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was going to do him in. And he, again, he has such the mental capacity to fight back from that and not let that impact him, because anyone else in the world is going to let that really possibly derail, but at best probably really kind of rattle you for a couple holes, but not Scotty. And he continues to show, like you said, why he's world number one.
Yeah, it's crazy to see 17 under, shot a 68, again, a par 70, a 68, a 61, a 68, and a 66, giving him a score of 17 under par. And I saw that Siwoo Kim posted something on social media, one of the best personalities on the PGA Tour, and said, like, everybody, give me congratulations for finishing in second. I only finished 8 shots back of the leader. And it's like, holy cow. I mean, that goes to show the gap right there. But to your point of how nice of a problem is it that we sit there and go, oh man, Jackson Coyman didn't finish in the top 10 in the PGA Tour every single weekend. Like, those are the expectations that obviously he has for himself because we've seen him at his peak. Yet, again, this was his technical sixth start as a professional athlete. And the fact that you're still able to go out and shoot 3-under, and again, 3-under after that triple bogey on 11 on Sunday on the back nine as well. I mean, that goes to show the fight and the mental game, which he talks all about.
Well, and that's precisely what this golf program has really, at Auburn under Nick Kleinert, has really established itself as one of the more mentally tough teams and programs in the country. And you just look at what else happened over the weekend at the U.S. Amateur and how Josiah Gilbert is selected as a Walker Cup participant, and Logan Riley finishes in a semifinals match of the USAM, and he's one of the first alternates in the Walker Cup if someone's not able to go. So it trickles down the line with some of the guys that are older in the program, as well as the younger guys in Logan Riley. So it's really all development from the Jack Key Golf facility.
Jacob, switching gears quickly to basketball, looking at the latest addition in the transfer portal in Colby King, what does he bring to this Stephen Pearl squad this upcoming winter?
Yeah, a lot of depth and experience because of you know what you've got in Todd Pettiford and Kevin Overton. You bring in George Kimball III, who is coming off an injury, but he was there at Vanderbilt last year, able to experience everything that depth resurgence of a program had under Mark Byington. So you have some faith in him to come in and provide a little bit of depth, but you just want a little more reassurance, and that's what Colby King is going to bring. Of course, being a fifth year and kind of being all around the country, you can see where his career path has gone, starting at St. John's and then ending up at Utah State last year by way of Butler. So he's seen everything. He's seen the high major. He's seen the mid-major route, and he's going to bring a lot of experience, and I think someone that can come in whenever, whether it's a cold game for a Tahad or KO, or there's just not quite the depth that you wanted, he can come in and really pace the game well, but also control the floor with his teammates and everything. Of course, he comes in late, so he's going to have to get to know them as quickly as possible, but you still got about 2 months until the season, 2.5 months here now, and that should be plenty of time to at least figure that part out and then learn the system as well.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here, taking some time to join us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And although football season hasn't quite begun yet, Auburn football did have a scrimmage inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, and continuing to hear more and more about that. We know that Byron Brown had some success, Jeremiah Cobb had some success, the defense dominated in a lot of ways, and Coach Golish may not have been too happy with what he saw, using a lot of the quotes talking about the tackling was okay at best, talking about how it was you have to humble the heck out of yourselves, and referred to it as a little bit of a sloppy day, but wanted to almost take that as a positive route of how nice is that to be able to hear right now. And even if that wasn't completely true, you almost implement that into the mind of the players to where, okay, whatever we saw on Saturday is not going to become that standard. That's not that word elite that he's been talking about and the entire coaching staff has been talking about. That's the mentality almost that you see with every single one of the top coaches in college football.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's what Coach Golish is bringing in. I didn't actually quite catch the first part of your question, but I did get the end of it about the sloppiness and of the scrimmage and everything. And let's be honest, whenever it comes down to an offensive coach, that's usually what we're going to hear out of them coming out of that first scrimmage of the fall, because that defense is going to be much more prepared. And I think that's especially true in this instance with the return of DJ Durkin as the defensive coordinator and so many key pieces on the defensive side of the football. So for the offense, it really is about, all right, this is not the standard. This is not the identity, which has been kind of the word of the summer since media days for Coach Golish and this Auburn team, and allowing yourself to work off of what you had to start the fall camp and doing that at Grand National and living there for 2 weeks. And now classes start today. And now it's really real, I think, today in the aspect of all right, we're closing in on kickoff. We're less than 20 days now from kickoff, and you've got to be ready to go. Once you hit game week, it's got to be preparation to beat Baylor, and it's as simple as that. Whereas these next week or two can be those final weeks of, all right, these are the adjustments we have to make to solidify that identity that we've talked about at length over the summer and even the spring.
Yeah, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader here on the Monday edition of On the Line. And Hillman, it's been a question that I've wanted to ask a bunch of the people, and I've been able to kind of get this out and just see their thoughts on everything, although it may be a difficult question to put you on the spot for. But with this new coaching staff, this new regime, the new era of Auburn football under Alex Golish, is there a specific moment beyond the scoreboard after 60 minutes, because obviously that will play a big factor as well, but is there something that needs to happen within the game, whether that's a specific call, whether that's a specific drive, or something at the game within the game that must happen for you to get the confirmation that, and the confidence as well, that this has changed and this is the future of Auburn football?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because to me, I mean, I just gotta look at where things have faltered over the past few years. I look at the red zone. I think that's a key area. I look at just the offensive line and how that is managed, and specifically in passing situations. And I can't really pinpoint it right this second. I would have to go with the red zone.
Sure.
Right here on the spot, because I really think that that is what has been the difference in wins and losses over the past several seasons. And whether that's turning the ball over there or just not converting, that has been why Auburn is in so many one-score games over the last two, three, four, five seasons that haven't gone the Tigers' way, and can obviously really shift the momentum for this program to get back to its winning ways that we know Auburn football is absolutely capable of.
Jacob, going from one team that is trying to build a scoring mentality to one that didn't have a lot of problems scoring from football to football with the first sport to kick off their season for the Auburn Tigers, the Auburn soccer team, with a resounding win this past weekend against in-state rival Jacks State. Talk to me about what Coach Armstrong is doing early in this season to try to set up success for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I thought really importantly, kind of doing that after the Clemson game on Wednesday to open the season, which was a strong draw against a top 25 Clemson team. Really, Auburn controlled that game from start to finish, had the best opportunities, just couldn't find the back of the net in those first 90 minutes of the season. But then, obviously, the floodgates opened against Jack State yesterday, and that was critical, because this Jack State team, it doesn't matter what the level of competition or in these in-state battles, it's always kind of a different animal of how you have to prepare and how you have to really have your mind set on. And Auburn had the right mindset in of treating them like they are a top 25 opponent, as if they were a Clemson or even a top 10 opponent, like you're going to face in the SEC this upcoming year. And that was really what I thought was so important. And it started with the senior in Dylan Driver, with her scoring the goal to get things going. And it was a great opportunity just going one-on-one early in the first half and finding the back of the net. But then it was Hannah Bell with two goals, a brace in what was a great performance. But also I look at the freshman in Chloe Taylor winning freshman of the week. And listen, that's something that you can really build off of. She is a defender. She's a center back.
Yep.
So for Auburn to have that in front of the goalkeeper, and obviously that's still to be decided at this point, then it's really, really impressive. And I think this team can start to play more aggressively, more creatively. That's what Coach Armstrong has. That's a word that he's used to describe his team and how he wants them to think when they're on the pitch. And I think that was the case, especially last night against Jack State. Maybe not quite the case against Clemson, but Auburn, like I said, controlled the game and had the opportunities, just couldn't quite break through. And listen, having a win and a draw going into week two and your final home test this week before hitting the road. That's a great spot to be in early in the season.
Yeah, I could think of worse ways to go about it. Again, the defensive game, the defensive battle against Clemson, and then the goal starting to pour in against Jacksonville State. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. And final content question for you here before we let you recap everything and tell everybody where they need to go. Coach Brent Crouch getting his season ready to be underway in just a couple of days. The exhibition at home inside Neville Arena taking on Georgia Tech. Talk about what the expectations are for this volleyball squad as they're very, very much ready to get things going and continue to capitalize off of what was a very successful year last year.
Yeah, I kind of look at this as the same sort of conversation as the soccer team from last week, where there are some very critical returnees, but then it's going to be the newcomers that have to step up and really bring this team to where they want to go. And obviously that's contending for the SEC, but Alarin Dries and Tate Mansfield and Emma Moore, those are the returnees that I'm talking about that had success last year and are looking to take this program to the next height. And again, Neville Arena being such a tough place to play, regardless of the sport, whether that's men's basketball, women's basketball, gymnastics, or volleyball in this case, is going to provide a factor when we get to that. But it's going to be a lot of road tests early on. You have the exhibition on Thursday against Georgia Tech at 4:00. But then after that, Auburn is not back inside Neville Arena all the way until September 17th. So a month from today will be really the real home opener for Auburn volleyball. But before then, they're traveling to Tennessee. They're traveling to Wisconsin and Florida and Illinois. So that's going to provide a great bonding exercise for this roster, for all those newcomers to kind of learn each other, but also the culture and the identity of this program as well. And that's going to be very important before getting to those home matches as well as SEC play, which immediately follows that home weekend.
School is back. Auburn sports are back, which means the Auburn Sports Network is back and running. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. My friend, plug everything that you and your coverage has over, again, the next handful of weeks before we continue to count it down to week one with Auburn and Baylor in Atlanta.
Yeah, we are so excited for live events to be back and to be covering those. And it started last week with Auburn soccer. It continues on Thursday as Auburn volleyball hosts Georgia Tech, but in regular season action, Auburn soccer against Southern Illinois, 6:30. You could actually pull a doubleheader there if you really wanted to head from Neville Arena over to the Auburn soccer complex. If you want to listen, we go 91.1 FM and the Auburn Tigers app for that Southern Illinois match. And then next week, it'll be Tiger Talk from the War Eagle Supper Club at 6:00 right here, or right over on Wings 94.3 FM. We'll have Alex Bullish, we'll have Mick Kleiner, we'll have Butch Thompson on to talk Auburn football, as well as all the success over this past summer with the men's golf national championship winning coach, and then Butch Thompson, who is obviously he's coming off a second straight super regional host. So lots to talk about when we get to that point. I'm so excited for Tiger Talk to be back. But yeah, Thursday's the day for Auburn volleyball and Auburn soccer this weekend, and we'll have it all covered. And Andy obviously continuing his great work with the Talking Tigers podcast. First day of classes, so naturally, Dr. Bobby Water is on the podcast today.
Awesome, my man. Well, we greatly appreciate your time. We look forward to diving into another busy week here come next Monday.
That's right. Talk to you then, guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will quickly wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. A really fun show here today, talking a lot of the AP poll top 25, teams we believe in, teams we don't believe in. Also, got to go down memory lane, talking about the final four run for the Auburn Tigers, some football memories, some Toomer's Corner memories, and so a little bit of everything here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Pushing some stuff to tomorrow, not necessarily the way that we had planned for it, but wouldn't want it any other way as we continue to near our way towards the start of the college football season, the high school season as well. We'll be able to make some comparisons onto the AP Top 25 and an article that CBS Sports released about $40 million rosters and then some, and how there's a weird correlation between the two of them, and how if you spend a lot of money, you're most likely going to be pretty good. And so we'll be able to talk about that, where Auburn sits, where a couple of those teams that Auburn plays sits in that. And so a lot of that coming up on tomorrow's show. But looking forward to another fantastic week. Again, everything counting down to our trip to Winter Timber Outdoors, as well as everything getting going on Friday afternoon, Friday evening.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a great week. So, and we're just getting started here on Monday edition of On the Line. And so tomorrow, I mean, I don't even know what we got planned tomorrow, but we're going to have something for sure.
We are. We are definitely going to dive into maybe a little list in there as well, one of our ranking systems. And so excited to be able to hit all of that here throughout the week. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on the Monday edition of On the Line. Sports are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.